And we're back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama, man, saving the world one soundbite at a time. So that was a pretty solid discussion there with Andrew Ford from ZLA. That was legit. And it was interesting to me to go beyond just reading the articles and going, huh, look at that. Here's the facts. And talking to somebody who's boots on the ground right now with the issue. But I got some other stuff, though, that I was going to cover down as we finish up this segment. So a piece that came out in the New York Times and also the Seattle Times, and could I find another liberal Times to read? But anyway, nonetheless, came out September 12th. It's titled, Who Are America's Missing Workers? Well, it attributes a number of things, but here's the two of the biggest groups that are seeing a difference in, like if you looked back at pre-pandemic, like pre-2020, where were these numbers for these age demographics and where are they now? Well, the two of the biggest are workers that were nearing retirement age, and then the other is men ages, what age group are we talking about? 25 to 54. Men aged 25 to 54. I mean, that's like most men in the workforce. I mean, that's an odd. You look at that and go, shouldn't that be the demographic that's the highest? Shouldn't they be doing the best? Well, here's the thing. This is a national trend. It's not just Alabama. Now, Alabama is one of the worst. Heck of a thing. It's kind of like saying, you know, school choice is not where it needs to be around the nation, but Alabama is still one of the worst. All right. Well, unemployment is good, but labor force participation in Alabama is not on par with other states. Roughly 43 out of every 100 people that could work are choosing not to. That's where we are in Alabama right now. So who are these people? Well, a story that I picked up, let's see, this one. All right. The one I told you about from the Seattle Times. It says, by the way, they've not figured this out. It says experts are studying this age demographic, 25 to 50-year-old men, and they're saying, okay, it even says right here, puzzlingly, men in their prime working years have retreated from the workforce relative to February of 2020. Women have bounced back. That's a good sign. Magnifying those disparities are two cross-cutting factors, the long-term health complications from COVID and a lagging return for workers without college degrees. I think that was an overreach. I don't think you can say long-term health complications are driving numbers down across the nation for men ages 25 to 54. That's our healthiest age demographic. But it goes on to say, though, it is a group that's not generally still in school or retired. And they are at 88.6% of where they were in February of 2020. So what the heck? Well, where are the missing workers? One of the things they say about a story that I pulled up, this is actually an op-ed that was written by a guy named Ferguson Wellman. Brad Hooley for Ferguson Wellman. He says, with regards to the older age group, he says, during the pandemic, endless Zoom calls, a strong 2021 stock market, and a sharply rising home prices created a wealth effect that gave many aging workers the confidence to go ahead and retire. And truthfully, the COVID pandemic being what it was, most folks said, you know what, I've got my retirement. I'm going to the house where I can go ahead and just safely not worry about COVID. So I guarantee you, a bunch of folks were scared into earlier retirement than they had otherwise planned. And then within that age demographic I told you about, another missing demographic is the labor force from all ages, men and women, between the ages of 20 to 24, it's down 3.7%. So they're just not there. It's like, where'd they go? They were paying taxes. Now they're not. They're gone. I got a call on the line. Yeah, I do. Okay, let me grab that real quick. Is that Sparky? Sparky from Harvest. Sparky, how you doing, man?
Hey, Phil and Boomer. Good discussion. Hey, you know, if you visit a state or federal park, there's a big sign that says, don't feed the bears.
Yeah.
And the reason you don't feed the bears is they lose the will and the habit of going out and working and foraging for food on their own. They just sort of show up, walk out to the mailbox and get that check.
Wow.
There's some wisdom in that sign, don't feed the bears.
Man, that's I didn't know where you were headed there, Sparky, but that's like I say, a great analogy. You do. You suck the motivation right out of them, and they become accustomed to not having motivation. That's a great point.
Whatever the COVID, the COVID dollars, the COVID relief dollars that obviously bumped, you know, supplemented unemployment insurance and unemployment payments and welfare checks. It's just like, it's so much money. It's like, why in the world would I go work at some minimum wage job or even middle class job when I can just sit here and play video games and get a check?
Yeah.
And the problem with government programs is they start and they never stop.
That's exactly
right. And
they
won't stop feeding they won't stop feeding the bears.
Wow. Great points, Sparks. Appreciate it. Thanks so much, man. Appreciate the call.
You're the man.
All right. Hey, listen, you know, it's also something. Sparky's right, by the way. When you just remove the will to live. I mean, people talk about inpatients in hospitals. The will to live means something. The body's ability to recover is sometimes impacted by the will to live, and he's got a great point. Have we not just maybe the benefits have finally lapsed? Maybe we finally got away from paying people to stay at home, but is it possible that in doing that, like we did, that we somehow suck the life out of folks, their employment will to live, if you will? Well, it's here's the thing. It's interesting, though, too. There's been a slight uptick, in unemployment nationwide. And what's kind of strange is this one article I've got from CNBC, and I, you know, at first I looked at it and thought, oh, it's CNBC. Do I trust this? I mean, but I'm looking at the story, and based upon what we've been talking about today, I don't know that I can argue this point. It says the unemployment rate ticked up to 3.7% in August. The story came out September 2nd on CNBC. Let me give you the headline. The rising unemployment rate was the best news in the August job report, economists say. Here's why. So rising unemployment was the best news? It says the higher unemployment rate of 3.7% was the best news in this report, according to Julia Pollack, a chief economist at ZipRecruiter. She said that may seem counterintuitive. How can an increase in the jobless rate be positive? The answer lies in the labor market dynamics underpinning the jump. The unemployment rate increased in August, but it also means there's tens of thousands more people who entered the labor force and began trying to find a job and having to apply for benefits while they found a job. I guess that makes sense. If you were at 3.5% in July, now you're at 3.7%, and you can look at it and say, ah, but there's more people in the pool. That could be a good thing. All right, folks, we're going to switch gears. Boomer and the Birdman coming up next. Y'all stay tuned. It's going to be good. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Be right back.